in Las Vegas, and Steve Cofield is here. I think what happened is we didn't get to do a show together earlier, so you just had to. You wanted to come hang out.
We bring in the backup crew.
Backup.
Low level MMA guy. I will try to do my best. Brett's awesome. Brett's awesome.
He's okay. But yes, we will get into UFC 216 here on the show today without Brett, and he'll be back next week. I'm sure you can follow him and get everything you need to know, his thoughts of the week on Twitter. But it is fight week here in Las Vegas. A very different kind of fight week. And I want to kind of start with what this fight is going to mean to the community and whether, I guess there's a question of whether they should even be having it. And I think even more interesting, which I didn't really think about much until today, is who it could affect and who could be affected the most on fight night of the fighters. Because I thought, you know, they're kind of sheltered. They're in their own world. They're going to go out and fight. But I actually did talk to several guys today that I kind of got the sense of I don't know how they're going to perform on Saturday. So we'll get into all that and fight picks, analysis, breakdown of the card, some news and notes around the world of MMA as well, some big fight announcements today, and some things coming up on the horizon as well. But I did want to get into, you know, what the significance of this event and whether they should even be having it. And I guess we'll start there. So this is the first major event in Las Vegas, or it will be on Saturday night, since the horrifying events of last Sunday, right around the same area, the same property, just around the corner. And it's an interesting thing. I mean, we've seen sports rally people around, you know, tragedies and after 9/11 when the NFL came back, and baseball and everything that they did, and all these big tragedies have rallied communities. And I think, you know, that's possible that could happen, but it's also different in the sense of a lot of times you rally around that home team. And I think we'll see it here. You know, the Golden Knights play next week, it'll be that. But UFC is a hometown thing. It's a Las Vegas thing, but it doesn't necessarily jump out as one of those big rallying points like those other things might be. But it is a major event in town. The first thing that's going to happen really on that kind of a level since the tragedy of last Sunday.
So you're anticipating what, a light crowd?
Well,
or do you think people come
out?
People come out in full force now?
Yeah.
Will it actually get a boost in a very sick way from what happened, where people will want to get down to the strip and show support and also, you know, make a statement? Hey, we're not scared.
Yeah, I don't think it will, because I think it was, like I said, I think those things happen with the home team, and I think it will happen next week with the Golden Knights. I think, you know, it was already going to be sold out anyway, the first ever game, but I think it's going to be one of those kind of atmospheres where you're like, whoa, this is a really cool, like, rallying point for the community. I don't expect that to happen Saturday. I mean, I think it's going to be, you know, a night where people come out and they start to kind of get back to normal. I just don't think it's going to be that kind of a, you know, like a, just a rallying point for everyone in town. But I do think they should be doing it. And I think that's another question a lot of people have had. Should they cancel it? Should they not go through with it? I think the only question to me was, like, MGM employees and police and fire and those type of people, EMTs,
right?
Are they ready for it? Like, I don't think there's any question, you know, the city is going to be ready to handle an event and all these other things. But, like, we don't think about the fact that, you know, that is an MGM property. It's like a lot of the same employees that were working, that were part of the event, are now going to be working this event. It's very short notice. A lot of people, you know, not short notice, but a short turnaround. You know, a lot of people gathered once again. How are they going to be handling it? And, you know, the police, the EMTs, all those people are kind of spread thin right now doing other things. Are they ready? That, to me, that was the biggest question. And once that was determined, I don't have a problem going forward. But I think that there was some question early in the week. I don't think this is a slam dunk that they were going to have this event on Saturday.
Yeah, I think there's two different points there. Because when you're talking about the police and the safety measures and the medical personnel, you're right. Are there going to be enough available?
Yeah.
You know, still trying to secure everything that has gone on here and make sure that all these victims are taken care of and people can get out of town and all that. The employee angle, yeah, I have no idea. I don't even know how to answer that because I think everyone's different. I don't know how you are, and I guess I can't say with 100% certainty how I would react to something like this because I wasn't there. I wasn't involved. I wasn't it wasn't my workplace, I would be ready to work, but that's what I do. You know, yeah. That's where I find my solace. So I would want to go back to normalcy and work because it would help me forget about things. But there are people who I'm sure around it again, it would make them miserable. So I don't know about staffers. I don't know if they're ready. I don't know if all of them are ready.
Yeah, I'm
sure there are some who want to take weeks off and just get away.
But I also think, you know, MGM was put in a bad spot by, you know, having this tragedy happen on, you know, on their property. But I think they're put in a bad spot with, you know, are you going to go forward with an event like this when I don't think there's a right answer. I don't, like, I've been reaching out for, you know, for comments on what the thought process was and what the final decision to go ahead with this event was. Because UFC said, hey, this is our town. We want to have something in town. We've already got the fighters here. Like, we love this town, and we want to be a part of, you know, the comeback and everything else. So we want to do this, and we're ready to go. But as long as the MGM is, like, you know, we're good from our end. Are they? And I think that there was some discussion at the MGM. And I don't know that there's a right answer. I think if you come out and say, yeah, you know what, we're canceling this event. We're not going to host it. We're not going to move forward. You will have a lot of people out there saying, you know, you can't let this destroy your town. You've got to move forward. You've got to continue. You've got to do what you do. It's not the next day. You've got to get back to real life. And then if you go forward with it, I'm sure there's people out there that are saying, why are you hosting this fighting event in a town where, you know, it was just, you know, devastated by the worst mass killing of all time? I think either way, you really can't win. So I think they're put in a terrible position to try to make that decision, especially, again, when it was their property. Like, it's not like it happened across town on somebody else's property and they're just hosting this event. There's all these different factors that go into it. And also, the other thing, and you mentioned kind of how people react differently. Like, the other thing is it takes a certain amount of time for people's reactions to settle in. And I don't know that everybody has accepted or is even, like, I think there's people out there, myself, I'll put it on me, that I was kind of numb for several days. It actually started to hit me a little bit today in a conversation that I had with somebody whose son was there, with another family. And they were like, yeah, the son was there. We didn't really know what was going on. And then he had to see everything that was happening. And that's somebody that wasn't, you know, fortunately he got away. Everything was fine. But he saw all this stuff happen and was part of it. And then, like, that's when it hit me, like, yeah, I know all these people died and all this stuff happened. But what about the people that are just there that have to now live their entire life with having seen that horror? And, like, all these people are affected that you didn't even think about. Like, those are things that really even start to hit you more. And like I said, like, I've been working on a lot of this stuff, and I've been kind of numb to it because it's like, go, work.
Mm-hmm.
And then today I was like, oh, man. Like, it really settled in for a little bit. And, like, I think there's going to be people that it's not for a month.
No, there's so many people affected by it that you don't even know how they were affected by it.
Yeah.
I just spoke to someone, I won't mention their name, but, like, in the last 45 minutes, who had to drive down and didn't know exactly what was going on. You know, had to drive down and pick up and save family members. Probably didn't know what the condition of the family members was. Just that, just driving into that scene with all that uncertainty.
Yeah.
That's horrific.
It is.
Yeah, there's so many wide-ranging effects that we can't even wrap our heads around.
So the one thing, like, I thought of all the angles, will they have the fight, all these other things. I really didn't consider fighters' thoughts. You just think, like, hey, they're in camp, they're getting ready, they're going to go, and they're going to fight. Like, I talked to guys today where I was like, I don't know if you're ready to fight. I talked to...
Really?
I thought one of them, surprisingly to me, a little bit, in the main event, Tony Ferguson, who really seemed just affected by everything and devastated by a lot of things. First of all, made some good political points about being angry about the classification of the shooter, just being, you know, oh, just a lone guy, not a terrorist because you're white. He was pretty upset about that. But also he said part of his routine every year when he comes here to fight in Las Vegas, and he's talked about it in the past, one of the things he does every day is get up and jog down the strip. He loves doing that. He's always done it. It's one of the things he's always talked about being the routine in Vegas. And he said he hasn't been able to do that yet just because he's like, I can't be out there. I don't want to see it. I don't want to be a part of it. I'm not ready to do that yet. Guys like, you know, Evan Dunham, who's a Las Vegas guy, who he's a local. He's been here for a while. He said he had a really weird night on Sunday. He has a baby, and the baby just wouldn't go to sleep, and it's not like the baby. It's a very good sleeper. And he said, you know, it was weird. I was spending all these hours trying to get the baby to sleep, and it just wouldn't happen. And then at some point, like, he's like, I think I realized when I finally found out what had happened, like, I think the baby just sensed, like, evil and just wouldn't go to bed. And he's like, it's shaking me. Like, I'm feeling it. And he said, my plan is obviously focus as much as I can on the fight and go fight, and I want to do it for the city. But he's like, I think it's easier said than done to do that and to block everything out and then go fight. And he also said, you know, he really feels the pressure of winning for the city since he's a Las Vegan. But the other one is, he said, hey, my family goes to the fights. And he said, I don't think it's any more likely to happen now than it ever was in the past just because, you know, there was a shooting here. I don't think it's going to be like a copycat or anything like that. He's like, but somewhere in your mind when you're out there fighting, it's like, hey, my wife's here. My kid's here. Like, what is anything going to happen out here? And he's like, I have full confidence in everyone and the security and the police and everything else to take care of it, but it's in your mind. And
all stuff you never process.
Yeah.
What a fighter would be thinking about.
Yeah.
How many locals are on this card total?
Well, there's
people who train here.
I guess three with him, Tavares and Kevin Lee. But even, you know, even as like I said, Tony Ferguson is not a local. Benil Darius, who's on the fight, he's on the card. He's fighting Evan Dunham. Said he's like, I don't want to tie myself to this. I'm not part of the story. He said, but he's like, I'm a country music fan, which I actually didn't know. He's like, I'm a country fan. I didn't know that concert was going on. If I did, I might have gone. He's like, you're thinking, like, if somebody just would have told me the concert was happening.
He was here already?
Yeah, he was in town. He's like, if somebody would have told me that the concert was going on, I might have gone to it. Like, who knows how this week would be different. And so even those things enter guys' minds. Like, you know, you're facing your own mortality kind of thing. I mean, all those things are factors that you never would have considered. And so I do think there's this whole other angle to the fight card that goes above and beyond just MMA, and you know, real life is involved, and it's beyond logistics, and it's beyond, you know, rallying around the community and all those other things. It's real life, and you know, guys are, you know, the fighters are just regular people, and these things affect them. So, you know, we shall see, and we're moving forward. We'll have the card. We've got a lot of breakdown analysis to do. One of the guys that's on the card, and actually another guy who told me it's weighing on his mind, it's affecting him, is Derek Lewis. UFC heavyweight. He's actually just went through a lot of things down in Houston. He actually saved people. Took his pickup truck out, pulled some people out of floodwaters, and he said, "Now I'm here." And you know, people here are going through a lot of the same stuff, just a, you know, different tragedy, but a lot of the same kind of heartbreak and feeling. So hopefully, Derek Lewis joins us on the way back. MMA Insiders, Adam Hill, Steve Cofield, getting ready for UFC 260.
MMA Insider Show.
MMA Insiders back here getting ready. UFC 216 on tap on Saturday night, T-Mobile Arena. It's going to be a fun card. I'm excited for it. I think we've got a lot to get into as far as the breakdown of the top few fights on the card. One of the fights I'm very much looking forward to, Derek Lewis, Fabricio Verdum, a heavyweight bout on the card. It's the third one down on the card, but I think the people's main event in a lot of people's eyes. And Derek Lewis joins us on the MMA Insiders right now. Derek, what's going on, man?
Hey, thanks for having me.
No,
I'm pretty good.
Thanks, man. Hey, what? I'm going to ask this question for a reason. What are you having for dinner tonight?
Vegan.
No, you're not. You're not vegan. I watched you do an interview with this poor girl today, and she was convinced. She was convinced that you were vegan. This is not, I know. Listen, I saw a story that you did change your diet. You got rid of the McRib. That's big. But you're not. You are not a vegan.
Yes, I'm vegan, and I never ate a McRib before.
Wow.
It's revising history.
It's big news.
Now, if that's true, well, you are eating McRibs. Why would you, if you dropped anything, why would you drop the McRib? That seems like a terrible decision.
I really haven't never eaten McRib. All jokes aside, I never did. And no, I'm not vegan.
It is funny to get into to those kind of things. But I mean, that story was funny and kind of circulating the internet. The no McRib, and you missed out on it. You're going to take that out on Fabricio on Saturday. So you're denying that? That's not true. That was fake news.
Yeah, it's fake news, Donald Trump. We'll use the hashtag fake news.
That's good stuff. Well, you know what was not fake news is what you were doing back in your hometown of Houston, you know, over a month ago. I thought, you know, I just want to say, first of all, you know, it, very impressive, and I, you know, just thanks for just being a good person like that. But did you kind of feel a sense of responsibility to do that for your community, or is that just who you are?
No, that's just who I am, man. I just felt like, you know, I'm not no hero or nothing like that. You know, I was just doing what I believe everyone should have done. You know.
Yeah.
I'm the guy that's in the spotlight or what, but everyone, I felt like they should have been doing the same thing.
Yeah. For those that don't follow Derek on Instagram or on Twitter and see it, I mean, you were just going out and basically doing whatever people needed. You're pulling people out of, you know, houses and helping people, you know, move things around with your truck. You're just out there, one guy with a truck. And I guess how did that? Did you see somebody that needed something, or did you start driving around looking for people?
It all started whenever the tornado touched down by my house, and I wanted to take a look at the tornado. So I was seeing a tornado close up,
right?
And I wound up seeing it, and I seen all the devastation, the havoc it caused when it left. When they had passed my house. And so I started moving trees at first. Then I heard, I watched, going back home and looked on the news, and I heard that a lot of houses in my area was flooded. And so I went down the street, you know, and just started helping people.
How did your house hold up?
My house was fine. Yeah. You know, just in front of the neighborhood, the tornadoes tore up a couple of houses, but that's about it.
Sorry, I mean to cut you off there. One of the other things you were talking about today was that, you know, and I've thought about this a lot of times with, you know, a lot of news attention is focused on places like Houston and then in Florida after the other hurricane, but then a lot of people forget and just like kind of move on. You know, Houston is still troubled, right? I mean, there's still a need for things to go on down there, right?
Yeah, for sure. There's people still without electricity and water and stuff like that, and the houses in most of the areas where it flooded at, you know, it was built to not flood, and so a lot of those folks didn't have insurance, and so whenever their house got flooded, they lost everything. It's all because the mayor had released those gates where in the area where they said that it would never flood because of that little setup they had over there. I forgot what it's called. It's like a dam or something like that.
Right. That's Derek Lewis, UFC heavyweight, getting ready to fight UFC 216 on Saturday. Well, you know, you leave that behind to come here and do your work in Las Vegas, and now Las Vegas going through, you know, what's going on here. How difficult was that for you to, you know, you're kind of getting away from that for a minute. You go and you're trying to do some work here in Vegas for a couple of days, and then this happens, and the community is going through a similar kind of situation.
Yeah, it's really emotional. You know, I really do feel like I shouldn't be fighting right now, because I feel like I should be at home with my family. You know, because there's crazy stuff happening left and right. You never know whatever is going to affect your family, because it's like back to back.
Did you think about not fighting then?
Yes, I for sure did. You know, I thought for sure the car was going to get canceled, especially what happened 2 days ago. I thought the car was going to be canceled.
Right. Well, I guess what made the final decision for you that you were going to go through and compete on Saturday?
I talked to my managers, my coaches, and everyone, just saying that everything should be okay. This is a big opportunity for me and such and such. And I wasn't trying to hear all that or worry about that, you know, but I wind up still getting on the plane and coming here.
Right. Well, I mean, mentally, is there a process you have to go through to you know, to kind of change your mind and change your mindset and your focus and say, all right, now I'm fighting, and now it's just all full steam ahead?
Yeah, for sure, because it really affected me, you know, especially emotionally. You know, I'm out here fighting for money, and a lot of people, you know, they're fighting for their lives and this and that. And especially by me being an emotional type of guy, and I really didn't like hearing or seeing all of this stuff. know, it really affected me. I just really needed more time off and just hop right back into a big important fight like this one is right now. Right. And I really didn't train as much as I was supposed to either at the beginning of the camp because of the hurricane. I was out helping folks for like 2 weeks straight.
Well, I mean, you weren't going to fight at all. I mean, we do remember that you announced your retirement before, but that didn't last long.
Yeah, that was only a month.
What changed your mind?
My wife told me that ain't no way in hell and such. She said that, but more words than that, that I'm not going to retire.
Well, what did you have a plan? Did you have another job you were going to do?
I started a salon, you know. I backed my wife on that.
Okay. I thought you were saying you're going to go in and start, you know, cutting hair and doing nails or something.
Oh, no.
Okay.
No.
You're just going to run the salon that, you know, that you bought for her.
Yes.
Okay, I got you. That's a little different. A lot of people didn't accept it that you were retired. A lot of people were hoping you'd come back and that you would come back, and then you get this opportunity to fight Verdum. Is there anything about Verdum that made that matchup exciting for you?
It really didn't matter who it was going to be, but at the time, I still wanted to fight because she made her mind up that ain't no way in hell I was going to stay at home all day like that, so I had to do something.
You don't really strike me as a game plan guy. Is that fair?
Yeah, it's true. I don't focus on one specific thing. You know, I train everything, you know, ground game, stand up, whatever. You know, I'm just go out there and just swing. You know, hopefully I hit something.
Well, you've done a pretty good job. You've done a pretty good job landing things in the last few fights. I mean, you had a nice winning streak going. Obviously, you lost to Mark Hunt. You know, mentally, how was the loss to deal with after, you know, putting six straight wins together? Looked like you were, you know, really taking off, and to have that setback, was that tough for you to deal with?
Not really, because I didn't train, took care of my body the way I was supposed to. You know, the last 3 or 4 fights, I've been really not even really focusing on mixed martial arts, especially my training and stuff like that. You know, I just really wanted the break.
Right. Well, in your mind, do you want to start taking it seriously, or is it just like, hey, it's working so far, I'm just going to keep doing this?
Yeah, I've been taking it serious now. That's the reason why I stopped eating bad. You know, I cleaned up my diet and start taking training a little bit more serious, training a little harder, pushing myself a little more. You know, try to give myself 100% chance at this fight.
You said the McRib thing was fake news. What do you really miss? What is it that you actually miss that you cut out of your diet?
Oh, Carl's Jr.
Okay. Is there
something? What do you get at Carl's Jr.? What's on the menu that you like?
The All Star, number one.
Pretty definitive. Yeah, he knew what he was like. Oh yeah, I know what I ordered.
Number one with the curly fries, not the curly fries, the onion ring.
Oh, that is good. That's tough.
Yeah, that really isn't great fighting food. If you're trying to go 5 rounds, especially in Australia after a 1,000-hour flight, it's probably not the best for conditioning.
And the barbecue ribs just fortified. yeah.
Rough too. Now after Saturday night, you have this fight, you go out, you beat Verdum. Is that the plan? Do you go back to Carl's Jr.?
Of course, I'm going Carl's Jr. after weighing in.
Okay. Well, that's a good plan. Have you scouted out?
I think I deserve it. This is the first time I ever stuck to a diet. I deserve it.
Certainly impressive.
Derek, how big are you before the fight? Like, what's the, you know, the week of the fight? Are you really cutting serious weight? You can't be cutting that much, right?
280.
Are you?
Yeah, right, actually, I'm on a treadmill right now, walking backwards. Looking at myself in the mirror and talking to you guys.
You're not even breathing heavy. You sound like you're in great shape.
Yeah, I know. I'm only on level 1 right now.
Okay.
I'm moving
that
fast. But yeah, I'm in good shape.
Well, I guess you have a prediction for you against Fabricio. How does this one end on Saturday?
I believe I could get him out of there before the fight over with. I'm looking for the first round, but for some reason I can't get a damn finish in the first round of the last 2 fights. So most likely be in the second.
There you go. Well, hey, the last thing I want to ask you real quick, you're, I mean, you, You're one of my favorite people to talk to. You always have funny answers and everything. I mean, you seem like a generally just nice dude. And that the stare down today felt a little, it felt a little tense. Was there some emotion going on there?
Oh, not at all.
No?
All right. No, not at all. I was just a little upset or whatever. Standing right there, shake my hand. He shook his hand, but he didn't shake mine. But, you know, we ain't going to talk about that right now.
Really? Interesting dynamic. Yeah, it just felt like for some reason I didn't expect. We were all waiting for, you know, for Kevin Lee and Tony Ferguson and what could happen there. And all of a sudden I was like, I think I said when you guys faced off, I was like, whoa. Like it felt different. Is that just two big dudes, I guess?
That's how I always do it, though. I like to get in their face, look at their eyes, smell like breath. To do that.
How was it?
Oh, it was pretty good, you know. He's been eating pretty clean.
Perfect.
By the way, I have to say, well, first of all, tell people where you are on Instagram.
I'm at the Beast UFC.
Okay. We're going to keep this clean. I'm just going to say that I appreciated your advice last week for Paige Van Zandt with the pink eye and the ringworm. I thought that was – that can help all of us. Please keep it clean.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
I'll explain in radio terms to the radio audience in a couple of minutes. Just to be careful.
Cool.
There you go. All joking aside, do you ever have someone like a Paige Van Zandt or someone you bust chops on come up to you and they're like, hey, Derek, cut it out, man.
Oh, John Jones.
Really?
Really?
Yeah, he was because of the coke.
Did you do the Tyrone Biggins thing?
Of course. Yeah, of course.
And what did John Jones say to you?
It's man, it's messed up, man. See, I invited you to the training camp to come train with me, this or that. You gonna do me like that? I said, man, I couldn't pass that up, man.
That's low hanging fruit. You gotta take that. That's easy. All right. Derek Lewis coming up Saturday night, UFC 216 T-Mobile Arena. Thanks for the time, man. Appreciate it. And hopefully we can let you know where the closest Carl's Jr. is on Saturday.
Oh, for sure. No, I appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Thanks, man. Derek Lewis, UFC heavyweight, had a nice six-fight winning streak going there before losing to Mark Hunt. But
this is important that he gets in shape, at least better cardio shape, because yeah. I thought that might be the case. You know, a guy who doesn't fight abroad a lot, and then you travel all the way to Australia, and he's not, you know, a cardio machine.
So, like all of his fights were ending in the first round, and then all of a sudden he goes to the fourth with Mark Hunt. He had nothing.
And he basically had a mentally battle because he broke down physically from a cardio standpoint. Yeah. I'll just say, as cleanly as I can, he likes to give out advice. He's a really funny guy.
Yeah.
So, Paige Van Zandt, she dropped out of the fight. What was the official injury? Was it a back injury?
Yeah, there was a couple things, but the back was the most pressing.
But she said something like, when it rains, it pours, I have ringworm, and I have pink eye. And he basically told her if she was going to engage in a certain sexual activity, just make sure you're all clean. Is that a good way to say it?
Yeah, that's pretty
I can't safe. Really get any closer than that.
Yeah. It was good advice.
But he cracks on everybody. I wonder if anyone comes up to him and says, dude, you know, cut it out.
Yeah,
he's 6'3", 280, so I guess I think if one of these ladies came up and they were like, come on, you know, you put me in a bad position here.
Whoa.
You put me in a bad position here, so, you know, watch the jokes. But, yeah, how does John Jones even walk up to anyone in serious fashion and be like, man, you're being mean to me?
Really? You're asking the question? Like, we know. John doesn't believe he's ever done anything wrong.
He can just flip the switch.
Yeah. John really is, he really does.
Bad John to innocent John.
He really does still believe he's never done anything.
He's the only one. He's delusional.
That's great that he came up to him. What was... I'm sure Derek didn't back down. He's probably like, what? What are you going to do?
I think he did what he just did. He laughed.
Yeah, laughed at him.
It's like, come on, man. It's funny.
But also interesting there, because I intentionally left out, you know, his thoughts on fighting Saturday when we talked about it before, because I wanted him to get into it there. But he said, I don't think I should be fighting. I don't think we should be fighting. I don't think this card should happen. So another one who, you know, you look at it, you don't expect the fighters to be impacted, you know, necessarily. How is he going to step in a cage when his mindset right now is he doesn't think he should be fighting? He didn't want to get on the plane. He didn't even want to come here. and not, you know, I don't want to go to Las Vegas. Just like I don't want to be a part of, you know, what is going on there. I can't look at it. It's heartbreaking. He said he was emotionally completely drained on Monday, just like being around and being a part of what's going on. He said, I don't want to do it. I think it should be canceled. And it was pretty honest. But how do you flip a switch? I guess we'll find out. Because the other problem he's had, and he said one of his biggest problems against Mark Hunt, apart from, you know, conditioning, was he doesn't really like fighting. He's like, the guy never did anything to me. Like, he's a nice guy. He came up to me and talked to me. Like, I don't want to punch him. Like, I don't like that. And he said, I feel the
really?
Same thing.
He's like total gentle giant. Yeah, he has to get himself amped up to knock someone out.
Yeah, he's like, I'm there.
Even when they're freaking, like, I mean, he had a little heat with Travis Brown. But even as you're then needing to defend yourself, I mean, that must get him going then. Because he was getting kicked in the midsection, like doubling over against Travis Brown. And then finally he was like, all right, that's enough.
Yeah, well, I'm sure, you know, that's what happened. And you go in there and you try to take somebody's head off because they're coming after you. But, yeah, he said, I went down to Australia and this guy's like home to go like get in a fight with him. Like, what is that? Like, what are we doing? Like, he has this, you know, this feeling about it. And you know, I said, well, why do you keep doing it? And he said, this is my job. Like, I'm trying to make money and this is a way to do it. I'm going to keep doing it. So it's, you know, it's a weird dynamic, but certainly we're going to find out who, and I don't want to say who can handle the emotions, but I mean, there is an aspect of it. There's going to be emotions added above and beyond what there usually is in a fight on Saturday. And we'll find out if it affects somebody and if other people can keep it under wraps or even channel it in a positive direction. I think all those things are questions that will be answered coming up on Saturday night.
We have enough time to break down all these fights? Because we got a lot to get into.
We will.
And we got future matchups. By the way, I want to find out from you, what's going on with Cyborg? Are we now screwed out of a big fight at the end of the year? They're not going to pair? We definitely need to get to that.
At some point they will. But we'll get into UFC 216, break down the matchups next.
MMA Insider Show.
Back here, MMA Insiders, Adam Hill, Steve Cofield. Bert Okamoto is usually here. He is out.
You get thrown off by the intense debate about pizza during the break?
We really were breaking it down. A lot of good spots.
Yes.
Only one I go to.
I can't get enough of multiple places. Like Derek Lewis, who was just on with us, who said he's cleaned up his diet. Did you know he weighs 280 between, well, not between fights, but the week of the fight he weighs 280?
I don't know
that
if
he has to cut to 265.
I think he was trying to answer what the biggest he gets is. There's no way he's cut, like... I think one of the reasons
he said he was on the treadmill. Do you believe he's on the treadmill? He said he was walking backwards on a one.
No, I don't.
He uses sarcasm as well as anyone I've heard in MMA. I can't name number two sarcasm person. I'm sure there is someone, but he's really sarcastic. So you told me that a female reporter today was out around the fighters and started asking about the change in the diet, and he said he was a vegan.
Well, and he tried it with us, and we're like, come on, man.
And he kept going with it, and she bought it, and then finally he had to say, okay, I'm not vegan.
Well, I made him.
You did.
I made him tell the reporter, because I didn't want the reporter to go out and, like, break news, Derek Lewis is a vegan. But as apparently just, honestly, here's the thing. I still don't know about the McRib thing. Because it was a huge story in MMA like a week ago.
Oh, no. Really?
Yeah.
Did he drop the McRib?
That he said...
He's cut the McRib out of the diet.
The biggest thing about his change in diet is that he stopped eating the McRib and that it was perfectly... It was terrible timing because as soon as he decided it, they brought it back at his local McDonald's and then he was freaking out and he said, I'm taking this out on Verdum that I'm not allowed to eat the McRib anymore. And for... Like, I didn't... I kind of didn't believe it because I don't think the McRib is back. Like, usually hear about it, so, like, there's always, usually, like, word on the street.
You don't even believe in the validity of the McRib angle.
Yeah, but then he, when he's on with us, now he's like, nah, that was not true. That was fake news. I've never even had a McRib. Like, I feel like he's had a McRib before. He's the kind of person, like, he knows the whole menu at Carl's Jr., apparently. Like, I feel like he's had a McRib, but maybe he hasn't. I don't know. That's how good his sarcasm is sometimes.
But yeah, last I'm seeing on the Newswire is last November.
That McRib was back.
That it was back.
It's got to be coming up soon, then.
Yeah, I don't know the rules on when they bring it back and how long it goes for. I found McRibLocator.com.
For when they have it?
Yeah.
I mean, that's important. That's probably something that that people should know about.
Ooh, hold on a second. Breaking news on McRibLocator.com. Most recent sighting. Taylor Mill, Kentucky, spotted 10/4/2017. So that's okay. That was today. Yeah, I know the date.
Oh, spotted today. So what about Houston? We got to find out when it was in the Houston area.
So it must be back. On the McRibLocator.com, there's a map. There's Find a McRib. There's a Report a McRib. And there's a blog.
Report a McRib. Please go report it somewhere. Can we? Is it? You can just enter it yourself? Break it down. Hey, I just saw a McRib.
Name, email, geolocate, enter address. This is a real website, which Derek Lewis needs to be on.
It's important.
Yes. So I said we had a lot of fights to break down. Yeah. You want to spend like 10 minutes on this big card?
No, I'd rather talk about... I'm actually reading quotes about the McRib and Derek Lewis. Just about his quotes about not eating one.
Can we start with the FXX card?
Sure.
Pearl Gonzalez, she was involved in which controversy?
She was pulled off a card in New York because they discovered, or more likely,
she disclosed.
More appropriately, she disclosed that she had breast implants.
Breast implants, and New York did not know how. That was one of their first fight cards, yeah. If not the first, and they did not know how to deal with it.
Yeah, so they pulled her off the card and then allowed her back on a few hours later, and she ended up losing to Cynthia Calvillo.
Who's Pollyanna Batelho? Batelho. she's a Brazilian. I was reading a little bit about her, that she's making her debut. She's had a delayed debut. Because she was set to fight, I forget who she was supposed to fight, but she broke her hand a while back.
And she's supposed to be pretty good. I think the issue here, and she's a slight favorite, about $1.40 in this fight over Pearl Gonzalez. I don't think Pearl Gonzalez is very good.
Okay.
So I think that, she's a great person. She's a good interview. I like her story. She comes from, like, nothing. Adopted some the younger kids in her family and, kind of helped raise them. All those things are great, but I just don't think she's that great of a fighter.
Reality is when you bet women's fights, these things are going to happen because they're bringing in so many newcomers, and the divisions are not as deep as the men's divisions, right. From like 9 on down in the rankings that you may get, in this case, what is it, a debutante?
All right, be careful, Cam. I'm kidding.
I know. In this case, you may get someone who's got just better fighter, who has more experience.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, we've already seen, you guys talked to Cynthia Calvillo last week. I mean, she legitimately was working at a Cheesecake Factory in 2016, and now she's a top 10 fighter in her weight class.
Yeah, I mean, you can't just say, like, oh, this person has 4 fights in the UFC, and this is a debut fighter.
The new division.
The experienced person must be better. Hey, you're bringing in new people all the time who have different skill levels, and you're trying to discover who's the best fighters in the world and all these other things, so you're still building the division, so it's not always a case of who's been around.
Two of my favorite fighters are in the next fight. I wish he pushed it all the time. Like, I wish Bobby Green fought like Lando Venata.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, he feels things out too much, but he's a great fighter. And then Venata, I mean, I might argue is, like, it's not an argument, it's a statement. Like, one of my four or five favorite fighters because he's dynamic standing up.
He's
and
he so unorthodox.
He just doesn't care.
Yeah, but he's also so unorthodox. Yeah. I mean, he's got that, you know, kind of throw caution to the wind, throw everything out there, hit him with everything, but the kitchen sink kind of mentality.
But he puts himself in harm's way where he can get hit too.
Yeah, but it's not even just coming forward. It's not even like throwing hooks and crosses and just power punches. It's the angles that he throws them from. They're so hard to prepare for, so difficult to get ready for. I mean, he's not ready to challenge a guy like Tony Ferguson, but he did, and he was right there with him because he was throwing Tony Ferguson off with the angles and the approaches and everything that he threw. When they fought each other.
Did you talk to him this week?
Venata?
Was he available?
No, I didn't talk to him.
He's one of these deceiving dudes. I don't know. It doesn't matter in the fight, but he's kind of like, he's got the Greg Oden. I'm going to call
old.
It the disease. Yeah, I like.
What's the hair?
When I saw him, I thought he was like, my God, this is a grizzled veteran. He finally made it, 36 years old, and you're like, he's 25?
I think he's got the bad hairline.
He does.
Yeah, so I mean, that's the problem. Sometimes that's the most deceiving thing.
Is he too big at -260?
Maybe, but I also think, like I said, it's a bad matchup for anybody because he's so difficult to prepare for, and Bobby Green fights like once every 3 years. He's just not an active guy.
This is a massive fight for Will Brooks.
Yeah.
He's got to really get some momentum going. He was a highly touted guy they brought in from outside the organization. He's 350 against Nick Lentz, who is not great, but he's a pain in the ass.
He is. This is a ridiculous line. Because, yes, based on talent, Will Brooks is far superior to Nick Lentz. But Lentz is so tough, and he will just tie you up, and he's impossible to deal with on the ground. So I think as a favorite this massive, you really could not bet on Will Brooks.
Will Brooks suffers from slow starts. I think he's too measured to begin the fight, and he had a tough time beating Ross Pearson, who's kind of a journeyman. And then Cowboy Oliveira came in, kind of dirty, you know, way overweight, fought him. And then for Charles Oliveira to beat him, that's not that he's a bad fighter. That was a bad sign.
It was bad. And
this is the former Bellator champ, and people thought he'd come over and immediately be a top five guy at the weight. It's an impossible weight class, and he just has not done it.
No, and it's not, just hasn't looked impressive, hasn't looked the same way he did in the past, and has been disappointing.
Better competition.
He needs to go on a run.
Yeah.
He needs some wins. But again, and do I think if you make me pick a winner in this fight, yeah, I think Will Brooks wins. But would I ever lay a price like this? Absolutely not.
God, this is such a good division. If you skip ahead to Beneil Dariush, you mentioned him.
Yeah.
Another guy who in another division might be a top five guy, but 155 is so deep that yeah, he's had a tough time putting a streak together recently. At least he lost his last time out against Barboza, who's freaking awesome. Who's another guy who actually, in the middle of his career, it's like, okay, maybe it's not going to turn out for him. And now, yeah, now he started to turn the corner.
Yeah, I think with Beneil Dariush, who, as you said, he's coming off a loss after a bunch of wins in a row, really talented. But if you really dig deeper into that loss, he was fighting pretty well. He caught a big shot from Barboza. With I believe it was like a flying knee.
It was a flying knee
that he caught him with, and that completely turned around the fight. Where I thought he was in control, I thought he was going to win. He was at least going okay. So I'm not too concerned about that setback. Like if he goes out and gets dominated by somebody for three full rounds, and it's like, okay, what happened there? But you know, I thought he was, you know, he looked okay, and he did say, you know, he likes how he reacts coming off losses. He hasn't had to do it a whole lot, but he said, I really like how I perform coming off a loss, and I'm excited to get back in there and fight. So we'll see how he
does. So he's fighting Evan Dunham, who's got a gym here. Evan has always seemed to be a guy the last, I mean, if you go back to like 2015, where I was like, man, I think he's getting a little bit, 2014, he's getting a little bit long in the tooth. Like he's had a long fighting career, but then he bounced back and he's won four in a row. So where's he now?
Yeah, he's on a good run. And he was talking today about how, you know, he kind of had that sense too. I think he had the same sense that you did about, you know, he was at a point in his career. He's like, oh, I don't know what's, you know, I don't know what I'm doing.
Honestly, I thought wear and tear was getting him.
Yeah.
Because he's been in so many. He's another guy who takes a lot of shots.
Yeah. He's really tough, really, you know, a guy that's been through a lot in the sport. And like you said, you thought he was done. He's had a nice resurgence. So it's been impressive.
The heavyweight fight? What about that number? Verdum? 250. We just talked to Derek Lewis. He's back at 190. Is there any way? Does Verdum just take the path that he should take?
Take him down?
Yeah.
Maybe, but Verdum's takedowns aren't great. Like, you've got to try to get the fight there.
In this case, come on. His takedowns aren't great against high-level guys. Not that Derek Lewis is, you know, a bad fighter. He's just... Is he going to have takedown defense, a simple freaking clinch and trip? He's going to defend against that?
No, that should be Verdum's plan. He should go right in.
And that's what I asked.
Try to get there.
He's not going
to
do it.
Yeah, I don't. He might, because I think he's in a spot where he really, really wants to get back to that level, to the championship level, and try to get his belt back. So he knows how desperate he is for a win.
He's arguably the best submission artist along with Big Nog and Mir in the history of heavyweight fighting.
Yeah. And so that's exactly what
you
should do.
You know, just like everyone, you learn stand-up, and you get older, and takedowns are hard. Awesome. And you're like, yeah, let me do it. I'm going to throw a lot of kicks, and my hands are good. And he scored some knockouts, and he's got abilities. But, like, there's only one path that Derek Lewis has.
Punching is fun.
It's standing.
Punching is fun. Grappling's hard. It's that simple. And, you know, we'll see if he goes out and takes the path that he should. You don't necessarily know if he will, but if he stands where Derek Lewis, it's probably a mistake.
Are you mad that Demetrius Johnson is being matched up against Borg instead of someone coming down to challenge in a super fight?
I mean,
he's
I think
minus 1250 favorite.
I know. You know what? Let him have the record. Let him break it here with this fight, and then make his next fight be against somebody who's coming down from 135.
What about the thought of the winner of Dillashaw and Garbrandt? Garbrandt's side, Justin Buchholz actually said last week, he's like, we want to protect Anderson Silva's legacy, so we're going to have Cody drop down and take on Demetrius Johnson. Let's go.
And too late, first of all. But yeah, I think those fights are very interesting. I would like to see them. And I would like to see, like, I believe Demetrius Johnson right now is the best fighter in the world because John Jones isn't there. I believe he's the best fighter in the world. And I'd like to see him, you know, challenge other guys that are coming down from 135 and take that, you know, take that approach. But at the same time, like, he's dominated the division and there are other challengers. So Henry Cejudo looks really, really good right now.
Isn't that the only way he's going to get the desired, you know, multi-million dollar payday?
Of course.
By going against the 135 champ or one of the elites?
He still won't get it, but it's the only way to get to that point.
How about the main event? Ferguson, 225 against Kevin Lee. We know you love Kevin Lee. Local of sorts from Detroit, so double local for you.
It's unapologetic obsession with Kevin Lee. There's no question. My love for Kevin Lee is almost equal to my hatred of Tony Ferguson over the years. He's obnoxious and annoying. But as a fighter, he's really, really good. He's really good. And a lot of the things Kevin Lee does really well, Tony Ferguson is good at counter. I mean, Kevin Lee's not going to be able to just drive through takedowns on him. He's not going to be able to threaten takedowns and land a big overhand right on him. He's not going to be able to do those things. So it's going to be a big challenge for Kevin Lee to try to beat him.
Yeah, I think Ferguson puts himself in way too many dangerous spots. That's why he's might be the most entertaining guy in the entire sport.
Yeah.
So to me, and I'm not saying that Kevin Lee has gas tank issues, I don't know. But I think Lee's got to get him in one of those moments where they're really throwing at each other in the phone booth and catch him. But I think if the fight keeps going, Ferguson's volume is going to build up. He just doesn't stop.
I do think it's a really fun fight, though. I'm excited about that fight. I'm looking forward to it. Saturday night, UFC 216, T-Mobile Arena. We'll be out there. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hill, LBRJ, at Steve Cofield. Brett Okamoto back next week, we hope. Follow him at B. Okamoto ESPN. We will talk to you then. Enjoy the fight.
MMA Insider Show.